Okay, everybody. Today's daf is daf Pei Vav. We're starting the final line of Pei Hei Amid Beis. And as you recall, just go a little bit higher up on the Amid Beis. We had the Mishnah yesterday that identified the various types of shemen, some of which are the best of the best, such as those that come from Tekoa, and some that unfortunately do not even pass muster. For instance, it says in the Mishnah, "Ein meviyim lo mi beis hazvalim, lo mi beis hashlochem, v'lo min ma shenikr nizrabineim, ein meviyim afikton, etc." So now the Mishnah on the bottom, the last line, the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, "Ein meviyim lo mi beis hazvalim," and there really should be after that a vav gimel vav v'goimer to identify that we're not focusing on the beis hazvalim, we're focusing on the case of ein meviyim afikton. Note that the Mishnah says, "Ein mevin afikton dim hevi kosher." Now, what exactly is anfikton? We're going to have a girsa in the Gemara shortly that it's not anfikton, but not anfiknon, and we'll see what the definition is. Bottom line, it is shemen that was made from unripened zeisim, unripened olives, and therefore it's inferior. So don't bring that as the shemen to use in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you did, says the Mishnah, then hevi kosher. B'dievet, it works. Freaking more about Tanya, ein meviktan afikton, then hevi, it's possible. It doesn't work. No good. What's the reason why it's no good? B'nei shehu sraf. Sraf means it's the equivalent of sap on a tree, which according to Rashi, that means that not only isn't it shemen, Rashi says it's moihel ba'alma. Moihel ba'alma means it's like juice or secretions that come from the tree. It's not really shemen. So that being the case, our Mishnah says it's kosher. The Braisa says it's possible. No, make up your mind. Is it kosher? Is it possible? That's one girsa. You note that there's another girsa on the top line, Vatanya imhevi kosher. And if that is the correct girsa, well, in our Mishnah it also said imhevi kosher. So what is the stira then between the Mishnah and the Braisa? They are consistent. And therefore Rashi Ksavya down below has another pshat, not that the Gemara is asking a stira between b'diyevet is a kosher or is a pasul, but rather since this is just sraf, sraf means it's just, Rashi says, moil ba'alma, just juice. It's not olive oil, it's olive juice. So how do you even contemplate listing that among the shmanim in our Mishnah? As well, if you look at the Rashi Ksavya down below, right before the wide lines, Neshu Sraf, moil ba'alma, it's just juice, secretions. Ve'yichi choshel le'masizim ba'li shmanim psulim, to be called mokim shemen korile. How does the Mishnah even give it the respect of calling it shemen? Sinishka shemen. It's like calling Kool-Aid, calling it wine, calling it juice. It's Kool-Aid. It's not juice and not wine. See here too. It's not real shemen. Sinishka shemen. It's just juice or secretions. Pei vav med aleph anoy. Om Rav Yosef leikasha harabchia harab Shimon bar Rebbe to rabchia zorikle Rav Shimon bar Rebbe mitavel bay. So Gemara tells us it really depends on your attitude and perspective. As far as Rav Chiya is concerned, this shemen, so-called shemen, Mishka shemen, is just juice, it's just secretions. When anybody would go and serve that to him, first thing he would do is he would toss it in the rubbish bin. He wouldn't even give it the distinction of trying it or looking at it. Hey, it's just a Mishka shemen. However, Rav Shimon bar Rebbe metavelbe, he used to use it for dipping. We'll have a greater appreciation today for dipping, since it's become such a minig in Klal Yisrael that on Friday night before or after the fish, you have to have 25 different dips on the table. So he used this as a dip. So now, says the Gemara v'simonech, as a mnemonic to remember, Ashirem mekamtsin. When you talk about Ashirem, Rashi said, Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, since he was from the, he was the Ben Hanossi, you can assume that he was a tremendous oisha. Tremendous oisha, he should have been the first one to go and throw out this moyel ba'alma, this sraf, because it's worthless. No. And Oisha knows the famous rule, a penny saved is a penny earned. And that's how Ashirim become Ashirim, because you don't just waste your money, and this is Gunish, no, every penny counts. So Ashirim Mekametzin, the Oisha is the one that is Mekametz, in other words, he saves even those things, and he eats even those things that other people would just toss away. You had a problem, Brother Shai? You had a shala? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good. So that we should continue to be good, and we go weiter. So until now we spoke about the Shemen, Afikton or Anfiknon. And now we're going to go into it from a totally different direction. We're going to go now to Megillas Esther. It says in the Megillas Esther, Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Amar. Shisha Chadoshim B'Psamim V'Samruke Hanoshim. That's what they offered to all the young maidens, as we know in the Megillah. What is this Shemen Hamoyer? My Shemen Amar. Rafuna Barchia Amar Staksa. V'Say Staksa. Rashi in the second line at the top says, Balsam. So presumably that's balsam oil. This is shemen from a, this is real, not balsam oil, this is olive oil, but olive oil that you didn't allow to properly, that the olives didn't have a chance to ripen. Olive oil is made from ripe olives. And here you went and prematurely took a premature olive, you squeezed it, it wasn't even a third ripe yet. And you squeeze it, and therefore you only got, like the Gemara said before, the sraf. If you only got the sraf, the sap, which is so ridiculous that Reb Chiya would throw it out, why did they even bother holding on to it and giving it to the noshim? So the Gemara explains weiter. Tanya Reb Yehuda Omer, Anfiknan Hashem and Zayish Lehevi Shlish. Even though until now we didn't connect the two together, now we're connecting them. We're connecting the dots. Till now we spoke about Anfiknan as being a deficient Shem and Zayish for purposes of the Beis HaMikdash, using Shemen. Don't use Anfiknan. It's even a machloikis, whether the Diyavid, it's possible, it's kosher, as we had before. But now we're saying Anfiknan has another use, not only for putting into a mincha or to kabanis, etc., but it also is, Zokti Yomara, something that is used by the ladies, as we saw, Shisha Kadosh B'Shemen Amar, what did they use it for? They didn't eat from it, but rather, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, it's being used as a cosmetic. Shemesher es aseir, the fancy English word, is a depilatory. Depilatory means and something that removes the hair. Some of you may remember from years and years ago, before they had the electric shavers, people used to use what was called mishi. Mishi was something that they would go and put over their faces. And if you left it even 10 seconds too long, you had a burn mark on your face, but it did a very effective job in removing all the hairs. So that's what Anfiknan was used as a depilatory, and this also helps to make the skin nice and pleasant and nice and smooth, etc. Good, so that's very good for the depilatory, but it's not good for purposes of Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, at the end of the Mishnah we learn Emivian min hagargarin shenosher b'moyim. Gargarin are individual olives that have been plucked from the tree, and if you nosher b'moyim, if they were soaked in water, and you remember the Mishnah gave the expressions that it was noshru and then kovush and sholuk. See right before the wide lines yesterday, pei hei omid beis in the Mishnah, Emivian min hagargarin shenosher b'moyim. V'loy men ha-kvoshim, v'loy men ha-shlukim. Zog yetz, the b'raith of Tanar Rabban. Shemen zayis kovush. Wusayis kovush. Kovush means that it was pickled. Pickled means that you put it not only in water, but you put in vinegar and you put some spices to pickle it. Just like we have the modern day pickles that they pickle the cucumbers. Sholot means that it was cooked or boiled. Shorin means that it was soaking in water. You left it in water in the mushel for 24 hours. So, all of these, we said in the Mishnah, is possible. V'shal shmorim. Shmorim means from the sediment. Just like you have sediment in wine, you have sediment in the oil. If you have oil from the sediment, no good. V'shal reyach ra, or if it has a bad odor. Lo yavi, then having, if you brought it, it's possible. Boy Rabba, this is already the third time where Rabba is posing this question. What happens if you took one of these bad guys, and you had advice from Shemorim, from Reyach Ra, whatever, and you were makdish it for purposes of the Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash, and you knowingly knew that it's a Baal Mum, that it is inferior, but you brought it anyway. How do you know you get Malkus? And what Malkus do you get? Our Gemara has never really addressed that, but Rashi yesterday told us that in Masechtas Temura, it says over there that if a person is Makdish a Baal Mum Lamizbeach, he's over b'chamish alavin. He's over on various lavin. So one wants to know whether din Baal Mum only applies to behemoths or whether it applies to anything that you're bringing for a carbon. So remember we had yesterday the same shayla legabe mincha, if you had a mincha mitula'as, that it was full of worms. Same thing we had by Eitzim, that they were full of worms. And somebody was makdish them for the Beis HaMikdash. Shayla is the over on this din of don't bring a Baal Mum to the Beis HaMikdash. Kim in the Pasuk Baal Mum, Dami, Lamaisa, all of these are Pasulish Manan, Ashmorim, Areyach Ra, Ui. And therefore, Baal Mum Dami, you get Malkus, if you had, of course, Eidim and Asra. Oy, Dami, Baal Mum, Al Behaimah, maybe this is a special Behaimah, then. So, to Marteiko, Tej be Yatarz. On to the next Mishnah.
The next. The
Gemara does not bring the Pasuk. Rashi says, I'm not bringing the Pasuk either. Look it up in Masechtas. The reason why over there you have five lavin and our Gemara only talks about one lav, because there the Gemara talks about first being makdish the Baal Mum, and then you go and do shech the Baal Mum, and then you do the zrikas and dam on the Baal Mum. So each one of these says the Gemara over there, you're over on another isser. Here, of course, you don't have the shechita and you don't have the zrika, etc. So they only talk about being makdish it at the outset. Okay, Zok the Mishnah. Can you imagine? Even the Heilige Art School doesn't bring it. Okay, no. If Art School doesn't bring it, then I'm off the hook. Zok the Mishnah. Shloisha Zaysim Hemu Behem Shloisha Shloisha Shmanim. What the Mishnah tells us is that there are three Zmane harvests. In other words, Zaysim are not the type of thing that all ripen at one time. Those that are on the top of the tree ripen the earliest, because of the fact that they have that exposure to the tree at all times. Once it's a little bit lower on the tree, okay, so then you have that harvest, but a little bit later. What happens, those that happen to be in the bottom of the tree, then it takes it even later. So the Shloisha Zeisim means that the three times of harvest, and after you harvest the Zeisim each time, there are three degrees of processing those Zeisim for olive oil. And therefore, what we're going to have altogether listed in the Mishnah is nine types of oil. Three seasons, three harvest seasons, as well as in each harvest season, three processes vis-a-vis these Zeisim. So it'll be nine altogether, three times three. It'll all be very clear as we go through the Mishnah. Zok to Mishnah. Shloisha Zeisim hein ubehen Shloisha Shloisha Shman. So Azayis HaRishon, what's the first Azayis, meaning the first season of harvesting these olives? Number one, Megargar Barosh Azayis. Oh, these are the ones that are all the way in the top of the tree, and therefore they ripen the fastest. Megargaroi means to go and pluck them from the top of the tree. For Koitish, now Koitish B'machteshes means to go and pound it with a mortar. Don't grind it at this point. You just give it a zetz. You pound it with your mortar. And now you take the zeisim that have been wounded and the noisim tzeichasal and put them into a basket, very similar to our wicker baskets, that because of the fact that they are wicker baskets, there are holes on the bottom that allow any liquid to ooze from these damaged zeisim. I don't mean damage in a negative sense, but in the fact that they were the victims of this mortar pounding. So now you have some juice which is being emitted, not juice, but shemen, oil which is being emitted, and slowly but surely it goes in the bottom of the sal, through the holds, and there's a kli kibble down below, a container that's going to go and accept that oil. And the benefit of the fact that it went through the basket is that the basket will hold back most of the impurities and act as a sieve, and it'll go down into that container down below. Don't put it on the bottom of the sal, but instead take these wounded olives and attach them, stick them to the walls of the Sal. What do you hope to accomplish by putting them in the walls of the Sal? So says Rashi, because if you just put them into the Sal, then all of the Zaysim will start from the bottom, and when they are sequetched, when they are squeezed as a result of the initial pounding by the mortar, and now they have the further degree of combustion by the fact that you have all the olives on top of it. So what's going to happen is, as the oil oozes from the bottom olives, some of the olives may go with it through the wicker basket, and therefore they're going to make it somewhat inferior. Therefore, leave the olives on the side, attach them to the side of the sal. So the only thing that's going to ooze from them is not the olive itself, but only the oil. If you look at the Rashi down below, Rashi Ksav Yad, fifth wide line in the Rashis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Svivois Toifani Hasal Nois Noi Mitoichai. Put it on the walls of the sal, Vashemen Zov Derech HaTfanois, and now the Shemen is going to ooze and flow through the Tfanois, Venoifa Leshule Hasal, and now it's going to eventually ooze down to the bottom of the sal itself. Umishon mistane, the word mistane means that it gets filtered, viyotze, and it will leave and fall into the container down below. Venimtze shemen mizukok, and therefore it's going to be really zoch, it's going to be really pure and clean. Shapsoiles v'hapekotem lidbokim v'difane asal, because any of the psoles is going to stick to the sides of the sal, of the basket. Avlo yidnem b'shuli asal, because if you put it on the bottom, like the Tanakhama said, shemen ushmorim, what's going to happen is, as the shemen oozes through the wicker basket, so too will some of the sediment also ooze. V'yoytzin, it'll also fall into the container down below. V'nimtza shemen ochor, instead of having nice, pure, clear shemen, you're going to have darkened shemen by the fact that it's mixed in with some of the sediment from up above. So the best thing is, adhere it, attach it to the walls of the sal. So back to the Mishnah. Ze Rishon. This is now the Rishon Sheba Rishon. The best and most geshmak shemen zayis of all of the three processes of the very first harvest. Now let's get to the second.
What we call today first cold pressed, I guess.
First cold pressed? Could be. I don't know exactly what they call today first cold pressed, but sounds good. And now we're going to the second process. Chozer v'toyin b'koyer. Now, after we let the initial process finish, now we take out those zeisim, and now toyin b'koyer. We put them under this huge, heavy beam. And as a result of putting on the heavy beam, of course, more shemen is going to ooze out. Rabbi Huda Oimer, no, don't put on a beam, put on bavonim, put on stones. Now, this is not just semantics over here. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda says bavonim, Rashi says, because the koira is too heavy. Since it's so heavy, as it squeezes out more and more shemen, more shemorim sediment is likely to flow together with the shemen. So therefore, don't put it on a koira, just put it on avonim, which I guess by definition are going to be more lightweight. And therefore, in the second process, you're only going to go and get the shemen and you won't get the sediment. Zeshei. This is number two of the three processes. Now, number three, Chazar, after we're finished with those two, V'tochan, this is the first time we're talking about grinding, right? The first time we were talking about pressing it with your initial mortar, then we said go and squeezing it by putting on this huge koira beam, or putting on the smaller lightweight stones, and now we give up on pressing and fetching. Now we're talking about the real makoi chazav etoch, and now we grind up whatever is left of these olives, the ta'an, and then we leave them there in the maton. Maton is the name of the kli in which you place olives after they are initially squeezed out. Zeh shlishi. So this is number three. Zokti Mishnah. Because of the degree of purity that you have in the first process, which you do not have in the next two, the first one is really special, and that you can use for the menorah. However, the rest of it you can only use, number two and number three, for bringing a carbon mincha. And Rashi already brings this in Chumash, and the reason for that is because it says in the Pasuk, Shemen Zayiz Zoch Kosis Lamo'er. And Lamo'er comes to tell you, it's got to be that degree of purity that it's good for Mo'er, for the Menorah, but you don't need that degree of purity for purposes of the Korbin Mincha. Zayiz Zoch, the Rashi and the Mishnah. Okay, so bottom line is, we had the first harvest. Of that, we had 3 degrees of process. First one, Kusha Menoira, the second two, not. Hasheni, now we'll move on to the second one. And you'll see that the second one is kemat word for word as the first one. Hasheni, this is now the second harvest. When I say second harvest, it doesn't mean a year later. It could be a week later, 2 weeks later. But when we see that the second row of olives on the tree are now ripening, oh, now we're going to go and cut those as well. So this is now the second harvest. Hasheni megargaroi b'roish hagag. Before we had b'roish hazayis. Here it's b'roish hagag. Why is it say b'roish hagag? Rashi has a couple of pshatim. The second pshat says Rashi is that they used to go and plant the olive trees next to people's homes. And now the middle of the tree, that is now corresponding to the height of the roof of the home. It's no longer Barosh HaZayis. This is already lower down. So, but it was kind of parallel to Rosh HaGag. And now Megagran, you pluck those. And the Koitish, again, you go and give them a pounding with the mortar, the Machteshes. V'noyis L'tzoy Chasal, and put it into the basket. If you don't put it on the bottom of the basket, put it on the side. Zerishay. So, as you can see, the same process as we had before. And now we get to the second, Toyin Bekoira. Tanakhava says, put it under a beam. No, not a beam. It's too heavy. It's going to produce a lot of sediment. So therefore, put it on lightweight stones. It's a shame. Chozer v'tochen, now it's number 3. We do a tchina, we do the grinding. V'tochen, you put it into the matan, that's the name of the kli. Zer shlishi, and once again, says the Mishnah, harisha lemenoira v'ashar lemenochais. Even though this is considered to be a ready and somewhat inferior line compared to the first, but still, it's superior enough that you can still use the Rishon Menoira and the other two Menachas. And now we're on to Shlishi. What happens now? Zokto the Mishnah. So now, this Shlishi, we're talking about now the third harvest. So what do you do with this third harvest? Oitnoi bebeis sabad. The word oitnoi is similar to the word ton that we had before. You go and squeeze it into a ma'aton, bebeis sabad, inside the large olive press. Ad shiilke. Until it begins to spoil. Since these olives are, even though we're now cutting them for the harvest, but they're never going to reach that degree of zach, kosis, lamor, etc., like you had the... That, I'm not saying that it's possible. I'm just saying it's not going to be as good as the first two seasons. So therefore, what you have to do is, after you cut it, don't go and start pounding it with a mortar like we had before, but here you have to go and put it in the maton, and you wait and you leave it there at Shiilke. Eventually it'll spoil, presumably after a few days. After it's spoiled, umaleyu, now you take it and you rinse it, umenagvoy, and you dry it off, peroy shagag. So we haven't even used any of this yet. All we're doing is trying to allow for a post-ripening after you've done the harvest. How do you do that post-harvest ripening? By going and putting it in the matzah until it spoils. You rinse it off, dry it off, and now it's a Rosh Hagag. It's now on the top of your roof. You put it on the top of the roof so that it be susceptible to the sun, so that the sun should go and dry it out. And now, Koitish, now he starts the pounding. And again, Rabbi Yudaimer, Svivoy Sasal. Zerishon. That's the first of this third season harvesting. And then, Toyin Bekoira, number 2, you put the Koira on the big beam. Rabbi Yudaimer, Bavanim. No, not the big beam. You only put on lightweight stones. They're shiny. Chozer, Betochan, Beton. And now, the third time, now you grind it. And now, what happens is, Zeshlishi, Harishon, Lemenoira, Beshar, Lemenochitz. Wow, even this third one, where you started the process by first letting it spoil, and then rinsing it, and then drying it, even here too, since that was the first of the three, snachalts kushel manoida, but it's possible lemen nachis. But even though it's still kosher, we'll see me at Shem in the next Mishnah all the way in the bottom that this is still considered to be quite inferior. We'll see. Anyway, Zukti Mariat, Ibailo. The first question Imar asks is, we learned in the Mishnah the word Megargeroi. Shaila is that the correct Girsa, Megargeroi Tanan or Megalgeloi Tanan? Is it Megargeroi or Megalgeloi? Now the question is, what difference is there in the definition between the two? And here we have a machloikis between the Rashi on top and the Rashi Ksav Yad on the bottom. The Rashi on top sounds like that there is no nafke mina lahalacha. It's only a question of the text. Is it with two reish or two lamets? If you see the Rashi on top, it's two or three lines higher than where we are in the Mishnah. You see, or in the Gemara, I should say. You see, it's almost parallel. Just go up two or three lines. Megagre tanan shemeiniach hazayis achinis bashlu hagagrim kol tzorchem. Leave it on the tree until it gets its full bishul, its full ripening. Oy megagre tanan dahinu nami shemeiniach beilan achinis bashlu yofa. Same thing. Leave it on top of the tree until it's nisbashlu yofa. So lechayir from this Rashi, no difference. It's just a question of the girsa, megargeroi or megalgalai. However, Rashi down below, Niksav Yad, does have a difference. If you see about six lines from the bottom of the Umud in the Rashi Ksav Yad, Gemara Megargeroi Tanan, the word Megargeroi means Shaloikid Gargir Kan, Vegargir Kan. You pluck and you pull off one Zayas at a time, Lefishadayin Erim Avushal, because it's not fully ripened, so therefore you can't just, in the when it's really, really ripened, as you know, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, and I believe that's still the minute today, that they put these large sackcloth on the bottom of the tree, and then they go and shake the tree, and once they are fully ripened, then the zeisim easily fall down. I don't know how easy, but they fall down from the tree, and they fall down on the floor into the sackcloth, and then you put the sackcloth together, and you take it to the olive press. So that's the, here, since they're not ripe yet, loik it, you take one gargi every one gargi. That's plucking or cutting one at a time. Oy megalgoi tanan, says Rashi, shemenicha barashi say, you leave it there at shuv b'fush l'mi'ela. So the megalgoi of the Rashi ksav yad and the Rashi up above seem to be the same. Leave it there on the top of the zayis until it's fully ripened. Shushal is what means megargoi. Does megargoi mean that leave it there, like the top Rashi says? Or does the megargoi mean, no, you cut one at a time because you can't just shake the tree, they're not fully ripened yet. Alright, but getting back to Agamah, so let's try to bring a raya from the following. Braisa, Toshima, says in the Braisa, the sign, Sheman Zayis Mizeisoi. The one means Mizeisoi. So Rashi says, is, since it says in the Pasuk, Sheman Zayis Zoch, Kosis Lamor, Sheman Zayis means that there's already Shemen in the Zayis before you cut the Zayis. In other words, this Zayis has already a nice amount of Shemen even before you start kvetching and pounding and grinding. It's already nicely full of Shemen. And therefore, even if you would just leave it without doing anything to it, it would automatically eventually ooze Shemen because, Baruch Hashem, the Shemen already in the Zayis. Continuing on, Mikan Amru, and from this we learned, Zayis Rishoy Megalgaloi. Oh, that's the whole raya that we're going to bring from this word Megalgaloi, that the proper word is not Megargeroi, but Megalgaloi. So Megalgaloi is Zayis, you leave it there on top of the Zayis until, in fact, it ripens, and then the Koitz of the Beis Abad, then you take it into the Beis Abad, the Toichnoi Berichai. So note, the Braisa starts off already the first process. He doesn't talk about pounding or squeezing or kvetching. He raises tchina now at the outset. So obviously the Braisa disagrees with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said you only start the grinding the third process of each of the three harvests. Okay. Venoisin Besalin Shemin. I'm sorry, the noise misal, you put it into the basket, shemen yoytzi imenu, the shemen that comes out, zeh hayarisha. Now it was the first one. Then toan bekoira, now you put the koira on top of it, shemen yoytzi imenu, zeh hayashen. So this is consistent with the Tanakama of our Mishnah, because it doesn't bring about Rabbi Yehuda, you put svi rois sal, the top, you put it into the sal itself, and you let eventually the oil will ooze from it. Vayoytzi imenu, zeh hayashen. Chazar, and now a third time, Uparak, Parak means to pull it off, to remove it. Tochan, and now you did a new Tchina, Vitoan, and again, you had your putting the matan, etc. Zeo Yishlishi, this is number three. Again, Harishal, Menoyda, Bashar, the Menachas. Bechain Zayasheni, the Bryson doesn't bother repeating the whole thing Zayasheni, because you remember from our Mishnah, Zayasheni and Zayin Rishon were virtually exactly the same. Only difference was that the first one we said is Baroish HaZayis, the second one we said Baroish HaGag, but otherwise all the three processes were the same. V'zayish Lishi, Oitne Bebeis Abad, you put that into that matan, Achiyilke, until it gets spoiled, and you rinse it off, Umal HaRoish HaGag, you put it on top of the Gag so that it should go and dry out. V'oysa oysa kimin tomorrow, and you make it like a tomorrow. Tomorrow we normally define as a date. Rashi here in the bottom says, three lines from the bottom, you make it into a pyramid. Oisa, oisa, kri rochav melmata, vekotzer melmala. That you put it in a kri, make it into a heap, make sure the heap on the bottom is nice and wide, and as it gets higher and higher, it gets more narrow and narrow, something like a pyramid form. Achizuba mevav, until all of the shemen would ooze, the coins of the base of man, and then after you're finished with that, take it into the press, the toichme berechaim, and grind it, the noisim besalin, the shemani yoitzim menu zehoyerisha. Toan bekoira, shemani yoitzim menu zehoyershain. Porak, choza, vitochan, and nochemu vitohan, zehoyersh lishi, and once again, rishon lemenoyra bashar lemenoches. So this is the Tanakama. As you saw, there were differences between the Braisa and the Mishnah, especially in the first part of the process, where in our Mishnah we said you're koitish b'machdashes, and here you said you already ate tchina the first time. And now Rabbi Yehuda b'rechayim. No, I disagree. El koitish b'machdashes, like we had in the Mishnah, the first time you don't go and do tchina until process number three. First time you don't grind it. You go and pound it with your mortar. That's already like we had in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda argued, don't put the koyda, put on the lightweight stones. Okay, so now what the Gemara says is a gufa kasha. The Tanakama of our Mishnah would seem to be inconsistent with the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. How is it inconsistent? Number one, our Mishnah says, Koitesh, the first process, you pound it, right? All three times. Each one of the three harvests, you don't go and grind. You're Koitesh. Mani Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa, which we just said. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's consistent with Rabbi Yehuda. But then it says, right in the Mishnah, you put up Treichasal, not the Svivoy Sasal, Asan Rabbana. So now the Tanakam of our Mishnah is kind of cutting and pasting. He's taking Abyssal from the Tanakam of the Braisa and Abyssal from Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. Make up your mind. Who do you hold like? In terms of the actual processing, he holds like the Braisa. I'm sorry. The Mishnah holds in terms of the processing like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't do Tchina the first time, but the second time, only the third time. First two times you're doing the koitesh, or you put on the koiro or the avonim, like we had. Masha'enke, the gavi, the halacha of basal, or sviwa sasal, there he holds like the tanakam of the braisa, and not like the Yehuda, and that's why you put in the sal, and not the sviwa sasal. Okay, a machlekes. But the whole reason why we brought this braisa is to go and show that it's not megargel right, it's megalgelai. On to the next mishnah. Now that we've learned that there are nine altogether, three cuttings, three harvests, and three processes each time. Zok the Mishnah, Harishin Shemarishin, the first process of the first harvest, Ein Lamalehimenu, that's the best, that's Mamish Mahadrim and Amav Mahadrim, Mufcha Shemimufchar. Hashenin Shemarishin, when getting ready now to the second process in the first harvest, Harishin Shemarishin, and the first process by the second harvest, Shogun. Those are already on the same Darga, the same Madrega. Now before we continue on, that's very hard to understand. Why is it so hard to understand? Because we said in the Mishnah that in all three of the harvests, only the first process was the one that's kosher l'menorah, the other two were only kosher l'menachas. Okay, so therefore the sheni shebarishon by definition is only kosher for the carbon mincha. The rishon shebesheni is kosher for the menorah. So that shavin, obviously there's a difference between the two. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha as soon as we hit the Amud Beis in Yet Hashem. They're not shavin. Hashlishi shebarishon, that's already number three of the first harvest. Vasheni shebesheni and the second of the second harvest. Varishi shebeshlishi and the first of the third harvest. Shavin, they're all on the same madrega. Again, they're really not on the same madrega because the sheni shebeshlishi shebarishon and the sheni shebesheni, they're only kosher the menachas. Harishi shebeshlishi is kosher even for ma'ar, for the menorah. So not shavin. Okay, that's part of the kasha on the Amud Beis. Finally, Hashlishi B'Sheni, Vasheni Shebishlishi, number three, Hashlishi Shebishlishi, number three of the second harvest, and Sheni Shebishlishi, the second of the third harvest, those are Shavim. Those are exactly the same for purposes of bringing your carbon mincha. Finally, Hashlishi Shebishlishi, the third of the third, Ein L'matei Menu, although it's still kosher for a mincha, but this is considered to be the most inferior of all of the nine. It's still sufficiently kosher for the mincha, but it's nothing compared to the other eight. Continues the Mishnah. Avkol menachos hayu bedin she'etanu shemen zayizach. As you know, we said already in this Mishnah already a few times, and we quoted the Rashi and Chumash, that there's a difference between the quality of the shemen for the menorah and the quality of the shemen for the karban mincha. Zokti mar al pisvara, I would have thought the other way around, that the mincha would require a higher degree of quality, not a lesser degree of quality. Why? Because a mincha is eaten. Yes, the kmitza goes on the mizbeach, but then the rest of the mincha, the shirayim, which has the shemen in it, not every mincha has shemen, maskim, but those minochis that have shemen, wouldn't you want that shemen should be gishmak, because the kahanim are going to eat from it. So therefore, says the Mishnah, avkol minochis, hoyu bedin shi'etanu shemen zayizach, Mitzad hasvara, I would have thought the mincha also requires the highest level, the highest degree. What would be the svara? Kal v'chaymer. Ma menoyda she'en l'achila, the menoyda doesn't eat it. I mean, there's fire, there's a light that emanates from the menoyda, but nobody eats it. Tuna shem and zayizach, it's got to be the nicest and the best. Menoyda she'en l'achila, what you're eating. Hey, the din she'etana shem and zayizach, shouldn't you have a higher degree of purity and gishmak? Tamaloimer shemen zayizach kosis lamor. Why does it say kosis lamor? Then zoch kosis lamenochis. We're going to see mechem in the Amud Beis by menochis. It's also a pasuk kosis, but it doesn't say kosis lamenochis. It says kosis lamor. Then zoch kosis lamenochis, and therefore a mincha doesn't require that same degree of quality process shemen as the menorah requires. Okay, on to the Amud Beis, and we already asked the kasha. Shavin, they're the same. You're telling me that the number one of the second is identical to number two of the first, right? That's what it said in the Mishnah. Hasheni shebarishayim, varishin shebesheni shavin. Tzachnish emes. Why not emes? Because the sheni shebarishin is only good for a mincha. The rishin shebesheni is good even for the menorah. For Amris Rishon l'menorah, v'shal l'menachos. Amrach v'yitzchak, my shavin, shavin l'menachos. They're both good for purposes of a korban mincha. So what does that mean, they're both good for a korban? No, for shteitzach, I mean, that's a dover pashit. Madach, in the case of the Rishon shebesheni, which is kosher for the menorah, is the chamadah going to be kosher for the menachos. So what's the chiddush there? So Rashi explains what's the kavana of our Mishnah. Not the Rashi on top, the Rashi Ksav Yad. You see the fourth line down below, fourth narrow line. Shem l'menachas. T'kaimelen b'chol duchti mivchan nederecha. We have in the Torah, you should always bring a neder from your mivchar, from the shemster, from the best. That what? D'min ha'muvchar yavi. V'achi ka'amah. So that's what the Mishnah is telling you. Harishin shebesheni, the first of the second. Vasheni shebarishin, the shavin. Shem yesh loy mincha lehavi. If you have a carbon mincha to bring, and you're wondering which quality shemen should you choose, you go to the oil store, and you have different shelves that have different qualities oil? Should I go and take the Rishon Shebesheni or the Sheni Shebarishon? You can bring either one. Either one, you're Mekayim, the Mivchan, the Derech. Avim Yesh Loi, Mishlishi Shebarishon. However, if on the shelves, the old type Shlishi Shebarishon, which is of course kosher l'menachos, but it's the most inferior of the first season, the first harvest. And you have the first one of the second harvest. You shouldn't say, "Well, this is from the Rishon. Shlishi Shebarishon. Let's bring that." No, no, no. Yavi Minchosim Marishon Shebesheni Shehu Mufcha. This is considered to be a better quality because even though it's the second harvest, but nevertheless, it's the first of the second harvest. No, and therefore you take that. So there, the Chiddush therefore of our Mishnah is that here you don't have to go and take Dafka one over the other. Ishavin for purpose of Menachos. So Ine Mini Mini Mo, whichever is more Gishmak. You can go and buy for yourself. There is no real priority. Okay, now it says in the end of the Mishnah, Avkol Menachos, so you begin mitzara svora. I would make a kal v'choymer and say that the Menachos should certainly have to have the best and the shems to shemen. Tanur Bana, we have a braisa, shemen zay zoch. What's the definition of zoch? Ein zach el noki. Noki means that it's pure, that it's clear. Really, you look at it, full transparency, clarity, gibal. Yehuda Oima, what's the definition of kosis? Ein kosis el katush. Remember, this is Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasai that says, you want for the menorah, it's got to be kosis, it's got to be kotush b'machteshes, and not tochan b'tchina, not ground up with the milk, but rather that you just pounded it with your mortar. Yochli hei zach kosis posel menachos. I would think that zach kosis is only kosher for menorah. It would be posel menachos because we had the kal v'chomer, the menorah, the menachos is better. Tamaloi mevisoren soilis bolu v'shemen kosis. This is now talking about the Karban Mincha, and we have here an Oiz Beis, Bisorin Soilis Bol B'Shemen Kossis. Oh, there it also requires Kossis. But there it doesn't go and say Bol B'Shemen Zach Kossis. It just says B'Shemen Kossis. Ah, in K'mata Malema L'Mor, there you have to have Kossis, and here you have to have Kossis. Why does it say by the Menorah L'Mor, Elamnesha Hachisochain? It's coming to tell you to go and save money. The Eretz Yisrael, so the word chisachon, and you have the big stores, the department stores, they put up a big sign, oh, chisachon, that means it's their sale, clearance sale. Right? Discount the price is 20% lower, etc. So here, too, what the Gemara is telling us is that for purpose of the carbon mincha, although it should also be mivchan nidorecha, and therefore if you use the shemen, which is good for the menorah, it's certainly good for menachos, yeah, no question. So why did the Torah distinguish between the 2 degrees? Why did the Torah simply say, all of it has to be either kosher for the menorah and menachos, or everything has to be kosher for menachos and also for the menorah? Well, why is this distinction? What is the rachmunis that the Torah has? So Rashi explains, on a daily basis, you had far more need for shemen than for the menachos than for the menorah, because the menorah, every cup of the menorah you put in a half a loik. Since you had 7 cups, meaning 7 lights on the menorah, 7 times a half a loik gets you to 3.5 loik. Okay, 3.5. Yeah, okay. Don't make it away. 3.5. But let's compare that to, for instance, the first time you need shemen every morning. First time you're going to need the shemen is in the minchas nisachim. And what does it say in the Torah? Chatzia hin yela parshvi, shesahin la ayur, viyasahin la kevitz. And the korban oila, tomit shushach, and tomit shubein arboim, was always a kevitz. Es ha kevitz, o echa tas, o aboy kevitz, a kevitz, hasheni tas, vein aboy. So now we just said it's a reviyasahin. A hin has in it 12 loik. A reviyas, a quarter of a loik of, sorry, not a quarter of a loik, quarter of a hin would mean a quarter of 12. A quarter of 12 is 3. So as soon as you bring your first minchas hasoch in the morning, you already use 3. Here, by the menorah, it's 3.5. Here's 3. Then, of course, you have that second mincha in the afternoon. Again, you have shemen, another 3. That's already going to be 6. But that's only vis-a-vis the minchas hasoch. Any yid that comes into the Beis HaMikdash and says, I want to bring my carbon mincha, then he has to go and minimum he has to have a loik shemen. And if he decides he wants to go and bring 60 Esroinim Mincha, according to Machloikis, but according to some, he'd have to go and bring 60 Loigen of Shalom. And if he wants to go and bring a par or an ayil or a kevis for his own private carbon oila, so with his minchas asachem, a par is going to have another 6, or for your ayil, you're going to have another 4 loigen. So you can see that the need for shemen of the typical yid, or even for the beis mikdash generally, is much greater for the menachos than it is for the menorah. That's right, the Torah says, menachos, you can even get quality 2, quality 3, it's okay, because we want to save yid money, as well as the beis mikdash. We want to save the lishka sagozis, the machzor shekel money, we want to save. Okay, weiter. Now from here, for the next few lines, we have a little bit of a gadita. Zog di gemara tavis b'nei yisov yikhu elecha shem en zay yizoch. Now it says yikhu elecha. Why was the psaloshin elecha? Amr b'shmol bar chmeini elecha v'loy li. Kodesh Baruch is saying, you guys, Klal Yisrael, you need the shem en zay yizoch because I gave you the mitzvah. But loy li, I don't need any menorah for my light. I have my own flashlights. Kav yochel says Rabbi Shlomo, loy rin tzachet. I don't need your oil. You have the mitzvah, machlechtik, but it's Elecha, so you get the schar. I don't need the ar. Why don't I need the ar? Like the Gemara is going to say shortly. Don't you remember in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael went 40 years in the Midbar. Which flashlights did they have? Which torches? It was all the Anonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them, the Anan during the day, and Anan Eish Baloyla. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need the light. I shed the light. I give the light to the world, either through the sun every day, the daylight, or even at night. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the Anan Eish. We'll see that in the Gemara shortly. Okay, similarly, when you walked into the Heichel, you noticed on the right-hand side was the Shulchan Mitzafayn. That was in the north side, and Menorah was Bedarim on the southern side. Now, normally, when a person is eating a meal at his Shulchan, he tries to bring the light as close as possible to the table, right? You put the table underneath your chandelier, underneath your lights in the ceiling, because you want to be able to see what you're eating. Why did we split up the Shulchan Mitzaf and Menorah Bedarim, Amr Zrik, Amr Bluzer, Loila Chilatz and Itzarech, Loila Oira and Itzarech? You think I, Kavi Yochel, and Rabbi Yishlan, I need to eat the Chalais, the Lechem upon him, on the Shulchan? You think I need the light of the Menorah? You guys need it, because I gave you the Mitzvah. Similarly, Vayas Labayis, Chaloi Nishkufim Atumim. This is a posik in probably Yecheskel, no? Dalit, in Melochim, that when Shlomo Melech made the Beis HaMikdash, he made the chaloinos in a very interesting manner. What was the interesting manner? Shkufim atumim means from the inside. Says Yimor ben Befnim, they were tana. Shkufim mi Befnim, v'atumim mi Bachutz. What does that mean? From the inside, he had a very, very small window where light would shine in. However, as you got towards the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that same window was much, much larger. Now, usually, if you're trying to go and bring light in from the outside, you only have to go and do a small hole from the outside, and then the daylight is going to light up the whole room. I mean, we have that, everybody that has the shades on their windows, the whole night, Baruch Hashem, it's dark, so you can sleep. But in the morning, just the smallest amount, if the shade isn't 1,000% bulletproof from all sides, you're going to get a little light from the top and a little light in between the shades and a little light from the side and the bottom. And that little bit of light lights up the whole room. Can you imagine? So you see, for the light to come in, you only need a small one, and then it spreads out all over. Here, in the Beis HaMikdash, they did it the other way around. They made sure that from the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, there would be only small little peepholes, so to speak, in the window. And then from that, then the light would go out to Bechutz and would light up the outside. So therefore, the light of the Beis HaMikdash, not only on a spiritual level was it great, but even on a physical level it was great, that the little bit of light would then from the Beis HaMikdash would go out in these small little windows and then spread out all over. So Kimura, what's the reason again? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need the or for myself, and therefore let the light of the Menorah leave and light up the world. Now it says Proichus Eidus. Eidus is referring to the Parshim Pshat, is referring to the Orein, which is inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and therefore the Eidus is referring either to the Luchais Eidus or it's referring to the Sefer Torah. However, here the Gemara dashes the Proichas Eidus, Eidus Hu Lechol Boy Oilim Sheshchina Shoyer B'Yisrael, that I'm this Beis Hamikdash and this Oroin and all the rest, this is Eidus, this is the best testimony that the Shechina by Klai Yisrael. No. I need a menorah because I need the light. We needed the light of the Rebbeinu Shalom that were provided by the Ananim during the day and at night the Anan Eish, and of course the oir of the sun during the day. That the Shechina is in Klai Yisrael. Now the question is, where do I see that? What does it have to do with the Paroichis or Eidus Boil Moyed? Where do we see that Eidus? My Eidusa, Amarava Zeh, Ner Maravi, Shadoisla Bashem. So in other words, the Eidus of is not referring to the other side of the Paroichis, the Kodesh Kedoshim, where you have the Aroin who Eidus, but in front of the Paroichis. Where was the Paroichis? The Paroichis was Mavdo between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim, and in the Kodesh you had the Shulchan on the right, and you had the Menorah on the left, and therefore it's saying, Amarava, Zeh Ner Maravi, Shadoisla Bashem, Keneged Chavri Sel, Vimeno Hoyim Madlik, Vimeno Hoyim Bo Hoyim Messiahim. The Ner Maravi had the same amount of Shemen as all of the other Chavri Rois. Which exactly is the Ner Maravi? That itself is a Machloikis, but the way Rashi learns, the Ner Maravi means the middle Ner, and the reason why, middle meaning that there are seven lights on top of the Menorah, and the middle one is the one that is called Maravi. Now why is that Maravi? They're all in the same place. Now the pshat is because they took the wick of the Ner Maravi and they had it lean and flow towards the Kodesh Kedoshim. So there it's towards the Ma'arav, that's where the Kodesh Kedoshim was. So that's why it's called Maravi, while all the others were pointed towards the middle one. Fine, so now this Ner Maravi, the amount of Shem they put in was exactly the same as all the others. Nevertheless, when they would madlik the menorah in the afternoon, they would start that as number one, Ubayim Messiahim, and then the next morning, when they came to check on all the Nerois, by that time, many of them had already gone out, because the amount of Shemen was there for the whole night, so now when you're expecting it at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever, in the morning, guess what, that Nemarabi was always still lit, that was always the last one that was still going. And often it went all the way into the end of the day, and they would go and light from that Ner Maravi. They didn't have to go and take matches or stones. They would light from that Ner Maravi all the other six. Okay, so that's the Eidus Yisrael, that everything is built Derech Nes, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge. On to the next Mishnah. Until now we spoke about the Mincha, and we spoke about the Shemen, and now we turn our attention to the Yayin, to the wine. And here too, Mifchan nederecha, make sure you always bring the shenst and the best. So me'ayinu yimivin esiyayin, where did they bring it from? From kaduchin v'atulin. That was alfaliyayin, that was the best wine, came from kaduchin v'atulin. Shnilhen, what was the second best? Was beis rima u'beis lovan bahar u'kfar signa be'bika. That was already second level. Kolorotzi yukshayis, truth of the matter is you can go and bring the wine from anywhere. El mikana yimivin, but that's what they tried to bring l'chatchila, because you want to bring minam mufchan. And now we have this already the third time. Ein Mevin, just like we said, don't bring your mincha from Tvua, and don't bring your shemen from olive groves that are basis volum, where you had zevel fertilizer. Don't bring the wine either from a fertilized field. You remember we had the two pshatim. Pshat number one was because maybe he won't put enough fertilizer, and therefore it's not going to do a good job. And number two, we said because there could be an odor when you drink from that wine, those that are greisa, chachum, and avoinim, and really understand these things, they'll say, doesn't have that beautiful taste like the French wine. Because they must have put zevel in, I feel it. So therefore, don't put basis. Well, don't go and grow it in a field that needs irrigation, because by definition that means it's a dry field. And don't go and bring it from a field where you have tvua growing in the kerem where the wine is growing. You probably have a kalayim problem too. But even if you didn't have a kalayim problem, in other words,
that's talking about the other mishnah talking about trees. Now we're talking about tvua. The other mishnah wasn't it about eitzim? It was between eitzim.
What you're saying is correct. This is already the third time. And each time we're saying that you want a field dedicated to what you need. In the case of the Mincha, we said, don't have it in a field of Tvua where there are surrounding trees, because the trees are going to sap and they're going to absorb the nutrients and the minerals, as well as, remember Rashi said, that there is a tzeil that will cause the inner Tvua to have a deficiency that won't have the full effect of the sun, because the leaves and the branches of the tree are going to block the sun. So it's not good for the Tvua. What we had yesterday, if you recall, when we talked about the shemen, we had the same thing. Don't allow for an olive grove that in between the olive trees, you have Tvua growing there, because if you have Tvua growing there, they will compete with the olive groves for the nutrients and the minerals. And here too, you have the Tvua in between competing for the nutrients and the minerals for the vines and for the grapes. So therefore, the wine will be from somewhat inferior grapes. Vimhevi. And if you brought it, kosher. This alichet chiladikadil, but the evidence kosher. Now, ein mevien halistoin. Halistoin is very, very sweet wine. And the reason why it's so sweet, says Rashi, because it ripened in the sun, yoyser midai, more than was necessary. You shouldn't have left it so long. You should have already harvested it a week ago. It just had too much sun. And the art school says that in Greek, the word halisto means sun, I believe, or air, something like that. And so therefore, the word halistoin...
Yes, helios means sun.
Sun, okay. In Greek, it's sun?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sun. Good.
Can this be like a raisin wine?
Well, raisin wine? Raisin wine is, you know, from grapes that have... that you let dry in the sun, and now you have sun-dried raisins, sun-kissed, and now you boil them up and you make from that wine. My grandmother, Lera Sholem, used to make Rajin Kalai.
They're talking about more or less without boiled and not cooked them.
Well, we're going to talk about cooked shortly. In the meantime, we're going to talk here, we're talking about halistan, which are over-ripened grapes, and therefore it was very, very sweet. Don't bring that type of wine because it's considered to be inferior. Then maybe, but the evidence it's kushy. Amethy and Yashin, don't bring. I'm sorry?
Tokay wine, which is very sweet. It's overripe and actually has a certain fungus that grows in it, and we end up with very sweet wine.
Okay, so the Chatkula, don't use that wine.
Tokayer,
okay. That's the Chatkula. Then maybe, but the evidence it's still kosher. Amevi and Yosha, don't bring old wine from the previous year. We're going to talk about that more in the Gemara tomorrow. Amevi and Lemosik Vlemushim Lemavushim, then Heavy Possum. Don't bring Mosik again, sweet wine. And the Gemara is going to ask tomorrow. We already spoke about the Halistan, the sweet wine, that don't bring it. And here it says, before we said Vimhevi Kosher, and here it says, Lemosik Vimhevi Possum. So there's a stira here. So the Rashi already points out that this mosaic is not because of the shemesh, it's because of this particular variety of grape that it produces sweet wine, not because of the sun. Presumably this is considered to be somewhat inferior, and that's why don't bring it lechatchila. So they're both sweet wines, but this is sweet because of too much sun, and this is because, I guess, this brand, this karka produces... This region produces very sweet wine. So don't use that lechatchila. Filet me'ushin, and not if it's smoked. Filet me'ushin, and not if the grapes have been cooked. Vim hevin, if you did that, then it's possible. Vim hevin menad loyis. Loyis means grapes that grow from vines which hang on trellises. Elam min araglis, but rather those that are on the ground, where the grapes grow on the ground. Now I would have thought growing on the ground is inferior, because people can step on it and doesn't get the full sun from all sides because it's on the ground. But apparently, when it happens to be on the ground, then they get some unika from the ground itself. So the ground itself, which has in it the nutrients and the minerals and etc., by lying on the ground, so they absorb some of that, and therefore it's better than those which are hanging from the trellises.
They absorb flavor from the ground. That's why the different grapes, different regions, they pick up the flavor and the raw body.
The roots. Most of those grapes are on trellises, from pictures that I've seen. And from my grandfather's grapes, I used to see that he had trellises also.
Okay.
But there's the quality is affected by the soil.
It's terroir, it's called.
Different
region. What? Terroir, T-E-R-R-O-I-R. That's the French term for the quality of the ground.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that's sitting on the ground.
Okay. It is. Or anybody that wants to do a term paper on that, you know, please come back after Yom Tov and tell us exactly the differences in taste and quality and the flavor. But of course, none of that is referring to using the Beis HaMikdash. You're talking about using it for drinking or a kiddush or whatever. So, don't bring from the trellises, bring from the ground. Umen akromim hu avudim, also from a kerem, from a vineyard, avudim, that you previously went and plowed and you did a good job, and it didn't just grow wild in your kerem, that you know you put a lot of effort to make sure that the grapes grow well and properly. And that's when you're talking about the growing. Now, when you're finished growing and you've converted your grapes into wine, don't put them into large casks, rather smaller casks, smaller barrels. Why? Because if in the big barrel, then they can more easily spoil. Rather, you should go and take the smaller ones. Don't fill up the chavis until the neck, until all the way to the top. Why? Because then you won't allow for the reyach, the aroma of the wine to settle in the cask, but rather it's going to try to get out, it's going to try to explode. That's why the Mayim Chaim and the Ber Mayim, they want to be able to use seltzer, which is kosher for kabbanis. So every time you open it up, all of the gas explodes in your face and on the table, and then you have to wipe it yourself and everybody else. Anyway, so that's the same thing over here. Make sure there's not too much pressure, so that when you open up the barrel, then you, oh, wow, this aroma, this is gewaldic. This smells like a wine from King Louis, the eighth, and the mamish, it's really tremendous. Also, when you're taking out the wine from the barrel, again, all of this for kabbanis purposes, for the shitin, etc. What are kamochim? Kamochim are the little dregs and stuff that you find at the top of the barrel of wine, and you don't want that for your kabbanis. And not from the bottom, because of the sediment. So what do you take from it? Maybe mishlisha miyamtza. But rather you take from the middle. Don't take all the way from the top, not all the way from the bottom. The middle is the best. It doesn't have the dregs. It doesn't have the sediment. Ketzed huboidik hagizbar, or ketzed huboidik hagizbar yoyshiv ha'konav yodah. Zorak hagir hikish b'kon. What does that mean? Fine, you start off with taking the wine from the spigot, which is in the middle of the barrel. But eventually what's going to happen is the contents on the top is going to come down, right? That's by definition, when you have a spigot in the middle of the barrel, then whatever is the contents on top will slowly but surely drain out as you take more and more wine. So now, what's going to happen is you might come across some of those kimachim at the top. Or Rashi says that the word gir means over here foam. As you know, even today, many of the, especially if you are a beer drinker, open up the beer and you pour it into the cup. You have to wait for half an hour until all of the foam at the top finally settles. So this foam is considered to be, again, inferior. It might have from it the kamochim, the dregs from the top. It might have the sediment from the bottom. So once you get to the point that you see that coming out of the spigot from the faucet, you see that it's already this white foam type of stuff, what happens is, the gizbar would sit there, bakona beyond, and he would have a reed in his hand. Zora kagir, when he sees that the bad stuff is starting to come out of the faucet, hikish bakona, he would go and hit the barrel with that, or the spigot, he would with a kona, with a reed. He wouldn't say anything. The reason why he wouldn't say anything, says Rashi, is because anybody that knows anything about the production of wine knows don't talk when you're taking wine out of the barrel, because that itself can have vibrations in the ear and cause the wine to spoil that much more quickly. So if you ever go into a wine cellar, especially of a major merchant, there are signs saying, silence, don't talk there in the wine cellar, so that it shouldn't spoil any of the wine inside the barrels. So you kish bekana, so therefore, and presumably the Mishnah says kana, which is a reed, because that makes the lowest amount of noise possible. You know, you're not banging with anything, just a kone. You know, oh, I already got the message. I turn off the spigot, and I'm not going to use any more wine from this barrel for the kabbanis for the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Yehuda Yehuda Imei Sheyesh by Kamach and Pasel. The reason why, if there is the dregs at the top of the wine, that those are Pasel, Shinem, it says in the Pasel, Tmim Yiyu Lechem Umin Chasem. That there really is no Pasel that says Tmim Lechem Umin Chasem. But rather, these are two psukim back to back. If you look at the Torah or HaSholim, he brings the craft of Isha Oyel Hashem, Parmen Ebok, Shnayim, Vayelecha, Shiva Kavosu, Neishana, Tmim Yiyu Lechem. Umin Chasem, Soilet Bula Hashem. So now if you combine the two together, Tmim Lechem, Umin Chasem, says Rashi, he comes to tell you that the mincha that you bring has to be tamim and not a balmum. What's the balmum? Like we learned yesterday, if it had worms in it. Similarly, you have another pasuk, tamim lechem v'niskeyem, that the nisach hayayin also has to be tamimim and not have any balmum. And if it has that kamochim, or it has those shemarim, then that's considered to be a defect in the wine, which passels the wine. Stop over here, Rabbi Sai. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.